Hey everybody, welcome to Eco Chic, a podcast all about practical science and sustainability. My name is Laura, I'm a graduate student studying climate science. This podcast is a cool space to share a lot of things I take for granted, like general climate change education or personal sustainability efforts. Things that are not necessarily common knowledge, but totally should be. We're going to be talking about climate change from a bunch of different angles, but also just personal tips on how to be a more responsible citizen of the planet. Last week we talked all about energy. I broke down the differences between renewables and non-renewables, and then some of the key energy sources in both of those realms. If you're interested in educating yourself a little bit on that, definitely go back and give last week's episode a listen. It's good just to know what's going on in the news, how different parts of our society are moving forward, especially when it comes to fueling our economy. Today, we're going to be talking about travel. Summer is here and vacation season is upon us. I'm really excited to be taking some trips and exploring new areas in these next few months. However, eco-friendly habits definitely don't have to be forgotten just because you're not at home. Let's just get a little bit smarter when it comes to how we're traveling and what we're doing in our free time. So first things first, transportation, how you're getting there, how you're getting to your vacation. Right now, airplanes are pretty inefficient. They use about 5 gallons per fuel per mile. So one single cross-country flight could very easily increase your carbon footprint for the entire year by like 20%. It's way more fuel efficient if you're taking a longer flight, however. So set some limits for yourself as to where it's reasonable for you to fly versus drive or take a train. My personal rule is 6 hours, so if it's going to take me longer than 6 hours to drive to my destination, I would rather just take a flight. So if you're going from like New York to California, it's way more fuel efficient to fly versus drive. Financially, it's also probably cheaper depending on how fuel efficient your car is. Paying for gas to get across the country or across a state or whatever, it can really add up. So there is not currently a viable biofuel alternative for jet fuel, but it's being pretty actively worked on, so hopefully in the future air travel will become way less carbon intensive. Train travel is another really easy option to reduce your carbon footprint, especially if you're living somewhere like in the Northeast or if you're going abroad where train travel is really more popular and better established. Train travel is way less fuel efficient than flying and could also give you a really cool insight into whatever country you're traveling through. If you're traveling through Europe or somewhere similar, there's really no reason not to take the train if you have the time in your schedule. Carbon offsets are another cool thing to talk about when it comes to air travel. Carbon offsets are essentially like credits you can buy to plant trees, and the carbon that those trees sequester should theoretically equal the amount of carbon that you're adding into the atmosphere based on your air travel. You can sometimes buy these through major airlines. You do have to like kind of dig for them though. They're not very easily accessible, but a lot of airlines have sustainability pages where you can purchase these carbon offsets through, and you can also purchase them through a lot of different nonprofits. There are some gray areas as to where the trees are planted and if the carbon offsets are actually always as impactful as they say they are. So carbon offsets are not like a super popular or efficient option right now, but it's definitely something to consider if you're interested in offsetting your carbon output through your air travel however you can, especially if you're someone who travels pretty often. Let's talk about airports. Airports, a lot of people don't realize that you're totally allowed to bring your own food. If you're traveling domestically, you can also bring produce. If you plan ahead, there is really no reason to buy an old airport sandwich that's wrapped in plastic. The food's bad, it's wrapped in plastic, not a good vibe. Same goes for bottled water. So no, you can't bring a bottle of water through TSA, but you can definitely bring a reusable water bottle empty and just fill it up once you're through security. So once you're on a plane, some flight attendants are willing to fill up that reusable water bottle for you. I fly American a lot, and they say they're not allowed to fill up my personal water bottle, so I'm unfortunately forced to make trash on those flights, but this is not the case for every airline. Sometimes you will be allowed to just bring your own container and get your drinks that way. Road trips require similar planning when it comes to making sure you have eco-friendly food choices. Pack your snacks in reusable containers. I always use glass, but that can sometimes get a little bulky, so a great option is also reusable baggies. There's some that are like Ziploc bags, but they're made out of a thicker plastic so they can be washed and reused. There's also really cool collapsible Tupperwares that are perfect lightweight food transport. I've bought some at REI and I like to take them for hiking or camping trips. Bringing your food storage containers with you is also a really great way to store leftovers or get any sort of street food while you're traveling. That way you're not forced into taking a styrofoam container, which will never break down. Avoid styrofoam at all costs. I feel like this should go without saying, but in a lot of other countries, it's not necessarily super accepted yet. Styrofoam is just bad news bears. So think about styrofoam cups. So that reusable water bottle can also come in handy here. In some countries, you are going to be forced to buy bottled water for health safety concerns, so just look for water that is purified locally and in really easily recyclable bottles. An easy way to avoid plastic also is that I always like to carry around a little lightweight tote bag rolled up, even when I'm at home, because it helps me avoid taking a plastic bag when I'm making a purchase. It's really all about just being prepared. If you're going on an adventure with a tour company, sustainable practices there to consider should be whether they're employing local guides and also just what their environmentally friendly practices actually are. Making sure your tour company is upholding that local culture and supporting a local economy means your money is sustaining a specific community. So you could also practice sustainable spending with your lodging options. So opting for locally owned boutique hotels versus giant multinational chains. A lot of the times they're really similarly priced, so it's not necessarily a matter of how much you want to spend, but where you want to spend. Smaller local places are going to be the ones that are more likely to employ eco-friendly practices in how they run their day-to-day operations, so both out of financial necessity and also just because they're part of that community, so they're respecting it. This could be fair labor laws or how frequently they wash your sheets. Dollars are going towards supporting those respectful, eco-conscious businesses. This goes for buying souvenirs too. In a lot of touristy places I've been, it is so often I see every tourist shop selling the exact same thing, made in China, shipped out there to be sold to tourists. Go a little bit out of your way and make sure that you're actually buying something that's locally made. Your dollars are still circulating through that local economy, and your souvenir has a much lower carbon footprint since it's traveled a lot less to get to you. On the topic of souvenirs, please, please, please do not ever buy animal wildlife products. So this could be like anything made out of a fur or an ivory and then sold to tourists in the masses. Creating a demand for items that are made out of wildlife support trafficking, and a lot of the time it's rare or endangered species that are the most appealing in a marketplace. Just don't do it. Not a good look. Other general basic tips that I'd like to mention are, of course, just never littering. Sometimes your trash or recycling options aren't readily available depending on where you're traveling to, but just hold on to it and then dispose of it when it's proper and safe to do so. Another little tidbit, if anything seems a little sketch, definitely don't be afraid to ask about the shop or restaurant's environmentally friendly practices. So like if you're having dinner, is the seafood actually locally and sustainably harvested? Lastly, make sure you are dressing appropriately and being respectful. Sustainability is also just respecting the local community, letting them operate as they will. Don't come in and just shake things up. I hope this episode was just like a quick little informative tidbit to help you this upcoming travel season. I know there's always trips on the horizon for a lot of us, so it's really important to just be a little bit more aware of how we are impacting both the planet and the people during those vacations. Eco-friendly mindsets, again, totally do not have to stop just because you're not at home. I will have a list of references and other fun things linked in the show notes and on my website, lauraedias.com. If you enjoyed this episode, let me know and we can definitely talk more in depth about anything, whatever you want. I'm always really happy to chat about science or sustainability if you're interested. The easiest way to get in contact with me is via Instagram DM, and I'll have that linked below. But you can also shoot me an email through the link in the show notes. It's just the contact page through my website. Thank you guys so much for listening and sharing and good vibes. I really appreciate all of the support, and I hope you all have a really great day.